Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
That's right. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. We got to change the world. The world will not get any better if we just let it be. We'd like to open up this program with some sadness, as well as with some joy. Our sadness is that we have recently lost one of our family members, Mr. Emmanuel D. Joyner. He made the transition on Wednesday, the 22nd of August, 2018. We definitely going to miss him, but we know that the lessons that he left for us to learn from, by continuing his lessons and his legacy, he will live forever. What we're going to do today at Missing Pages of History, we're going to briefly do a little brief tribute or respect to Mr. Joyner's transition. And on the 8th of September, we have a special program dedicated to Mr. Emmanuel D. Joyner. Following that particular presentation, we're going to open up the segment, What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods. We'd like for you to participate with us and share with us what's going on in the Neck of Your Woods, followed by another segment which will discuss articles of interest. What do you think? We'd like to have you participate with us, and you can do this by always calling in at 818-337-0016 and hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. So right now we can get started with this program. Like always, this program is a tool, it's an instrument to represent underserved communities. And we'd like to hear you to come forward and tell your stories. You must fill in those missing pages that have been omitted from the history book. This is what we is all about. This is what Mr. Joyner was all about. So right now we're going to one of our members and contributors, Susie. She can give just a little brief acknowledgement of Mr. Jordan's transition. Susie, I'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History.
Good evening, and I'd like to send my condolences to the Jordan family, and you in their thoughts and prayers. And here's just a brief obituary of Mr. Joyner. Emmanuel Joyner was born on May the 10th, 1945, to John Joyner and Jesse Palmer in Henderson, North Carolina. He departed this life on Wednesday, August the 22nd, 2018, with daughter Tanya and sister Bessie by his side. Emmanuel grew up with 12 amazing siblings, Jesse of New York, John, Audrey of Pennsylvania, Carver, Louise of North Carolina, Ring of Germany, Alexander, Louise of North Carolina, Kaycor of Virginia, Bessie, affectionately known as Aunt Sis of North Carolina, Maxine and Eva and Albert, both of Pennsylvania, Mary and Jeffrey of Virginia, and Armstead, Sheila, who are all deceased. His godparents, Mr. Cephas and Miss Cheryl Prelew of Baltimore and family. And Mr. Joyner initially attended Vance County School System before transitioning to the Baltimore School System. He pursued his post-secondary education at the University of Maryland, obtaining a bachelor's degree in engineering. Emmanuel enlisted in the Army in 1969 and served in the Vietnam War, receiving the following military decorations and medals: Bronze Star Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, Vietnam Campaign Medal, and the National Defense Service Medal. He was an active member of the Disabled Veterans. And this is just a small portion of the things that Mr. Joyner did or achieved, which, like as Lee said, we'll continue. We'll do a memorial for him on September the 8th at 1 o'clock on BOGTV.com.
And for people who'd like to know more detail about his upcoming funeral, which will be on next Friday, at Lee's Funeral Home, you can go to our website, go to Lee's Funeral Home website, which is in Raleigh, North Carolina, or you can call them directly at 919-231-1000. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to play the song in memory of Mr. Joyner. You know, Mr. Joyner was always one who believed in speaking truth to power and telling it like it is. So we're going to play this song when we come back. We can go into our segment, What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods, and we'd like for you to call in and participate as well. So right now, this song is in memory of Mr. Joyner. It's coming up. Bear with us.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. All I wanna say is that they don't really care about us.
Enough is enough for the sergeant.
Thank you.
is that they don't really care about us. This is a song dedicated to his transition to Emmanuel DiGiorno, for those who have looked at his life and the history that he displayed. He has a history of speaking truth to power. And when we look at the history of this particular country, we know that its first social policy was a policy of social injustice and racism. This was something that Mr. Jordan constantly shared with us through looking at history. So again, we will give our tribute to him on the 8th. of September, and we would like to acknowledge again to his family. We give our condolences, and like we stated earlier, to the lessons and the legacy he left, as long as we carry out the lessons and legacy, he will live forever. So right now, Mr. Paisley History will make his transition to the first segment of the program, which is titled, What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods? We'd like for you to call in to speak to and to share with us what you think about what are some of the things going on in the neck of your woods. Right now, Susie and myself, we'd like to have a little bit of discussion. Then we'd like for you to join us at 818-337-0016 on what's going on in the neck of your woods. Susie, some of the highlights that took place this past week in terms of what's going on in the neck of my woods or our woods, we'd like to talk a little bit about and get your impression on the whole idea of how they're handling and dealing with Aretha Franklin's transition. You know, Aretha Franklin, the famous songwriter and singer, who is considered the queen of soul, she just recently made a transition. I believe they'll be holding her funeral, her memorial, I believe also next Friday, which will be September the 1st. So what's your take on the media, how they handling this whole issue of the transition of Aretha Franklin? And that's in general, but even in particular, there seem to be that when African artists die, they get more recognition during their death than do when they're living. A lot of times, their music not considered as value as much while they're living, but more value when they're dead. What you make of that, Susie? First of all, how you think they're dealing with her transition?
Well, far as the media is concerned, I think so far they're being very respectful. The only thing that I don't necessarily agree as far as personal, her finances and everything, do people really need to know what she was valued at and the fact that she didn't have a will? That was apparently her choice, and I'm pretty sure there's enough of her family members, one of her sons or sons that has a very good idea of what she wanted done. I would believe that she expressed this to him when she was able to. And the other thing, like I said, I think in representing her and telling what her life was about as far as her being recognized as the leading song artist of all times, her repertoire that encompassed gospel, jazz, blues, R&B, and pop standards, winning 18 Grammy Awards. She was universally hailed as the Queen of Soul. This was done. And then being a daughter of a preacher, when you think of coming from a religious family, the fact that she was able to do the variety of songs of what she did, and she was still respected in some sense. And then she performed during the inauguration. She did several, but she also did the one for President Obama at the Capitol in January 2009. I think basically they have been respectful to regarding her transition, and then also making people like your younger kids that may not necessarily be into the songs that she did over the years get some familiarity with it. And that's it.
You know, Susan, one of the issues I would like to bring to light that often is missing from the pages of history when it comes to African artists and the whole concept of the music industry is this question of trying to avoid these great forms of exploitation. For example, it was mentioned the other day as related to Aretha Franklin, is that she has only the intellectual rights or has the rights to her own music, all the music that she has produced, she only has the right to about 4 songs. You know, she's not the publisher. As a publisher, from my understanding, that owns the rights to the music, they get the residual income, the monies that come from these music years after the artist has died, whoever have the right to the publisher. And she seemed to be another victim when it comes to African artists of their family not being able to transfer wealth from one generation to another, because on the business side, they understand how it's structured and how it's been used to take the wealth that they have generated and created and make sure that transferred to the next generation. So if she only has publisher rights as to 4 records, the question becomes, who has the other rights to other records, and who's going to get the money? It's the ones who has the publisher. So one of the issues we need to look at and educate our people, particularly in terms of in the music industry, is how to control your intellectual property. That's a concept, something our people know very little about, but that's a concept that people are often getting ripped off, and wealth is constantly going from one hand to another hand, but never into our community, nor to our families. So that's one of the major concerns I have, and they don't talk about that. But I think it's a shame if she does not benefit, her family does not benefit, her children does not benefit from the work and the labor that she has produced, and this wealth does not go into their family. So, your response to that?
Well, the thing about it, sometimes I don't think we necessarily get the full picture and stuff. Being who Aretha was, when you think about when she did concerts and stuff, she made them pay her, and she took all her money in a pocketbook with her on stage. When you think of someone that would do that much, because of the fact she had to have knowledge of how the system really runs, what she was dealing with, to even do that. I can't believe that she doesn't have something there where she's protecting herself as well as protecting her kids to benefit from what she did all these years. I just don't buy that up. Maybe eventually one of the kids or do a book and really let you know what the full story is. But I can't believe that she didn't protect herself and her kids so that her wealth would continue with them, just on the basis of how she got paid for the concerts and everything that she did.
Well, we're talking about royalties. You know, this money you earn after you're dead. So I hope that's true what you're saying. But let's move forward. We'd like other people to weigh in on this particular issue. The next issue in terms of what's going on in the Nicolette Woods, let's talk just a little bit about how they're dealing with racism. I call it racism in tennis. How they deal with Sabrina Williams, and I'm talking about particularly about the recent decision that was made by the French opening that she would no longer be able to wear the tight knitted cat suit that she worn in this past tournament, this past French opening tournament, I believe back in June. It seemed like many things that she have done, they find ways to tell her she no longer can do this. What do you think this is all about, Susie?
Okay, I think about it is the fact that Sabrina, who she is, the fact that she's African American, the fact that she has a way of making trends come about, and they don't want her to get the credit for having this trend. And then also when you look at the physique of Sabrina, basically you take most of your Europeans or other nationalities, especially the women, they don't have the physique and everything that Sabrina does. So anything that they can do to sort of bring her down, and they also don't want her to break the record, which she's real close to breaking the record. So I think all this is a way to get into her head mentally to allow her not to be able to perform to 100% for the future tournaments coming up.
I think this culture aspect, when you're talking about looking at features and body structures, also plays a role into this decision well, Susie. And also it's a question, again, for Gilles, it's a question of who's going to dictate and dominate what is beautiful and what's not beautiful. And as we continue to look at the history of the West, they have always tried to paint a picture that the African features are not beautiful features, when otherwise, historically speaking, we know that it's otherwise. So I agree with you on that. let's move to one more topic. Then we're going to open up a little bit to a line. We'd like to hear what's going on in the neck of woods, other people, and that responds to some of the topics we're talking about. Susie, you know, recently there was a, there's the issue of Donald Trump, and his saga continues. You know, he is continuing. He's firing people from the State Department who doesn't agree with him. He comes on the media, say he didn't say one thing, then come back say he did. But they continue to allow him to act in a way that seems to be that he do as he please. What you make about this saga about many of his former employees that are now testifying against him, and just this whole lack of he doing what he doing and how he doing it. What you make of this whole saga of Donald Trump?
Well, think about it. It's funny how it's individual after individual, Manafort, Cohen, all of them of a certain, it's like they are going. The thing of it is, I'm not so sure it's all the same orchestrated, because still, even though they appear that they're going against him, it's been so much during this presidency where things have switched, because you never really know. Like as they said, like even his lawyer gonna say, you never really know where the truth is the truth. So even with Manafort and Cohen saying what they saying, one of them took the, you know, he claimed guilty, and the other one, and Manafort, he always they're talking that Trump's gonna pardon him. So therefore, I just wonder if it's all in just an orchestrated game that they all have, because the thing of it is, Trump wants to be the lead and he wants to continue to stay there, and if and he has people that tends to listen to him and do what he wants. So.
Okay, on that note, this is Missing Pages of History. Our theme today is centered around the whole idea of forms of oppression continues. We're going to talk about that as we get to our segment called Articles of Interest. But right now, we are talking about what's going on in the neck of your woods. We are now opening up our phone lines based upon some of the things that we are spoken to about what's going on in the neck of our woods. We'd like to hear your views, your comments. Please call 818-337-0016 and hit 1. Right now, we have a caller. We're going to bring caller 3330, caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your response to what's going on in the neck of your woods. Yes, caller. Caller 3330. What's going on in the neck of your woods? Okay, well, maybe we'll come back to caller 3330. Let's go to caller 6029. Caller 6029, what's going on in the neck of your woods?
I just briefly want to talk about the Amazon and their public relations nightmare. You know, recently Amazon has been trying to paint a portrait in which they define themselves as, you know, conscientious, really concerned about the plight of the workers. But, of course, the reality is quite different. When you look at it in terms of the treatment of the workers in Amazon, those factories, and clearly is a tantamount to slavery. The kind of pressure that the workers are subjected to is unbelievable. In fact, it's so bad that many of these factories, the people have to urinate in bottles just to keep the production up. So clearly this notion that workers are important is a misnomer. In fact, when we talk about these changes in the economy, then clearly workers increasingly are becoming more slave-like. So the slave propensity practiced by these corporations is something that sort of doesn't speak well for humanity. So I think we have to understand that with these changes comes a great amount of injustice, a great amount of suffering, a lowering of wages. And so for those of us, you know, out here struggling in terms of making ends meet, the reality is that increasingly it's becoming more and more difficult to make ends meet simply because corporations see an opportunity to enslave individuals, pay them lower wages, and treat them without respect. So clearly, Amazon is sort of emblematic of the much broader problem in the society.
Okay, caller. Let me get your take, caller. What you make of this whole question of how they deal with the death of Aretha Franklin, the issue of Sabrina Williams can no longer dress up in her tight knit outfit that she wore to the French Open tournament back in June, and the saga of Donald Trump. What's your take on these phenomena?
Well, I think Aretha Franklin is sort of typical in terms of their treatment of entertainment stars. One of the things, particularly when you talk about, you know, African entertainment stars, one of the things is that the society as a whole is comfortable with the idea that African people are very good singers. That historically never had a problem with. And so I think that kind of perception in terms of African people goes on. So as opposed to talking about humanitarian interest of Aretha Franklin, they talk more on the musical side. So I think that is in keeping with the historical notion that the only contribution African people can make to society is one of art or music. So I think I'm not surprised when they talk about the fact that, you know, she's a great singer and, she's the greatest the world's ever seen. I'm not surprised she received those kind of accolades, some because it's non-threatening to the system. It doesn't expose the system for what it is. Now, we understand Aretha was a great artist, no question about that. But the mere fact that she was also a great humanitarian, one who stood up on behalf of Angela Davis, one who affirmed that African people have a right to self-determination, they don't talk about that. They only talk about the music. So clearly, this is just a practice, by the Western world in terms of minimizing African people's contributions to humanity. The question in terms of Donald Trump. Well, like so many politicians, he does what's in the interest of Donald Trump. And so clearly you have a system in place to sort of ingratiate those like Donald Trump, those individuals with positions of wealth and power, to actually be in a position to receive more wealth and power. And so Donald Trump understands that. Also, we got to understand the reality in terms of the structural nature of the system. One of the things that we like to believe that this is a democracy, but what we don't understand is that it never was a democracy, nor would it ever be a democracy. The system is designed to ensure that the 1% of the population continue to ensure the benefits and accrue the benefits of the society. The interest of the mass of the people is not really a concern. In fact, one of the things the founding fathers continually talked about was they always felt that the mass of the people weren't intelligent enough to appreciate democracy, and so therefore democracy is something to be avoided. But Donald Trump is just the latest beneficiary of a system which benefits, you know, very, very wealthy people. The third point was Sister Serena. Well, you know, the whole point is that I think the sister was absolutely correct. One of the things that, you know, there's a certain amount of tradition that's involved in terms of professional sports, particularly when it comes to tennis. One of the things that, Serena actually doing things, dressing in a manner in which is sort of different than what they're normally accustomed to, speaks some kind of autonomy that those positions of power in the tennis world don't want her to be in a position to actually affect. Because one of the things is that people around the world look at this, and it has a very definite impact on the way people think, on the way people feel. It certainly has potential in terms of empowering people to the point where people understand the importance of autonomy and not being some puppet for some major power. So for those reasons, I think those musicians in the tennis world, particularly because they tend to be very conservative, see an intense implicit threat in terms of the way she dressed. Not to mention, of course, the fact that she's very, very shapely, you know, like most African women are. The mere fact that she's very shapely, you know, brings sort of different dimension to the game. And when you contrast that with historically with European females, there's quite a contrast. And so, therefore, this notion that in terms of beauty, because it abounds among African women, one of the things is that they don't want to legitimize the notion that the world understands the beauty of African women. And so, therefore, they see an invested interest in terms of making sure that that aspect in terms of the culture, you know, doesn't become legitimized. So I'm not surprised that they would demonize her and attempt her from wearing her wardrobe simply because she represents a real threat to the philosophy and aspirations of the Western world.
All right, caller, thank you for your contribution. We'll put you on hold. We'll come back to our next segment. You can listen to that and maybe share your views on those. So we'll go to our next caller. We'll bring in caller number 6178. Caller 6178, Missing Page of History. What's going on in Nick of Your Woods? 617.
Thank you. Well, there's a tribute to Justice on Trial, a film about Mumia Abu-Jamal that's coming up on in Washington, D.C. area August 28th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Institute for Policy Studies, 1301 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest, 6th floor. That's in Washington, D.C. And this will be a comprehensive look into the case of Mumia. Other than that, things are going okay. There is a four-day event for the Cuban people. The proposed blockade is coming up pretty soon. Thank you.
Carl, before you get off, let me give me a brief response to how you think they're dealing with the death of Aretha Franklin and this whole issue of Sabrina Williams, and they refuse to allow her to dress the way she wants at the tennis tournaments, and your nature, what's going on with the trunk cycle?
All right, well, with Aretha, I think the caller before me put it quite well. The emphasis on her as a singer is well documented, and there's no problem for people giving her proper respect when it comes to singing. But when it comes to her as a total human being, a person who has political ideas and political views, they seem to downplay, you know, the Aretha who stood up for Angela Davis and that kind of thing. And so, you know, it's a one-sided view of Aretha, which is not comprehensive. On Donald Trump has his idiosyncrasies, and he's a very erratic and emotional person. He tweets policies and proclamations left and right, you know, out of the top of his head, and he's trying to create some kind of cult of personality around him, which everybody's supposed to adhere to his feelings and his idiosyncrasies and neglect the role of them as government representatives, and that there is a government and there is a constitution, and that they are supposed to be consistent with that. And he's demanding loyalty to him and his whims. And so, you know, this is a problem. With Serena is, you know, a beautiful black woman, and obviously the world has problems with the beautiful black women. It's the women are to be treated as second class citizens in some people's minds, and there's a double standard, and anyway to accentuate her physical beauty and her physical features is not in the interest of the white power structure that dominates the world, and so, you know, it's understanding that this is why she's having problems with her dress in their minds. This is nothing but racism, and I'll leave it right there. Thank you.
All right, Carl, thank you to your contribution for this segment. Continue to hold on. We'll take this one more call before we go on our station break. We'll go back. See, we have caller 3330. Caller 3330. What's going on in Nick of your Woods?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. What's going on in my segment of society is that Virginia has approximately 11 judgeships that need to be filled. That's why the state legislature has been called back. One of the reasons they were called in for a special session, in addition to finally getting a budget approved. Understand what these particular judgeships are at stake. They're going to impact the well-being of Virginians. When you look at that, these judges have the ability to legislate, to put forth certain measures to make sure that utility companies aren't taking advantage of the constituents, among other important matters. So you've got to understand this is very important in terms of who will be filling these positions and those that are unable to select the people that fill the position.
Okay, Carl, your response to some of our recent issues that we spoke to this morning, we spoke upon, as relates to the death of Aretha Franklin, Sabrina Williams, and the French Opening, and what's going on with Donald Trump and his administration. Your response to those particular issues?
I find it very interesting that, I'm going to speak from the religious aspect and the faith aspect in terms of looking at Aretha Franklin's legacy. Very interesting in terms of some of the views and the people whom she supported from the faith aspect, that part of her life even is not mentioned, though it's an important part of her upbringing. When you look at the fact that she came from a generation of some of the most well-known people in the black theological community, but it was okay for Trump to get those ministers to gather around him that he felt comfortable with. But when you look at people that Aretha Franklin constantly associated with that would be critical of the policies at play, very interesting never hearing anybody come from that aspect, because she did a very good job of emphasizing black self-determination, black worth, and potential that black people had. In regards to the Trump saga, you put a clown in the White House, expect a circus. It's that simple. We see the situation happen. He was ill-prepared. He got a lot of megalomaniacs that he put in office thinking that they will get things done. That's what happened. You get those people gathered in the room, there's going to be chaos. I mean, what more can be said? In regards to Serena Williams, that's not anything unusual in terms of this whole mystique of a white dominant society trying to define what a black woman's sexuality is. Because that's one reason when you look at some of the movies of the 70s, that's one reason Pam Grier did some of the movies she did, because she was well aware of this kind of situation going. So doing some movies was a way of doing a response to it in terms of the fact that the black woman can't define certain things for herself.
All right, Carly, thank you for your contribution to this segment. Continue to listen to the program. We're going to pause for the calls, and when we come back, we're going to talk about articles of interest, and we're going to speak to these articles under the theme, Forms of Oppression Continues. Forms of Oppression Continue. We're going to pause for this call. This is Mr. Page of History. We'll be right back.
So I learned to depend on me.
welcome you back to Missing Pages of History, the greatest love of all, to love thyself. I say to love humanity. Welcome back to Missing Pages of History. And before we make our transition to the segment Articles of Interest, what do you think? Our theme about this particular segment is dealing with this whole question of form of oppression, forms of oppression. Continues. We'd like to have your views and comments as we talk about certain articles that made our missing pages for this week. But briefly before we do that, I would like to acknowledge, and we will do also some kind of special program in terms of recognizing our sister Zawa Veronica Sobukwe, who many call Mother Alzania, known in South Africa. She recently made her transition. She was a member of the Pan-African Congress of Zania. And in her own rights, she made important contribution to our people's struggles and history, and she must not be left out the history book, and we do want to acknowledge her transition, and we'll do something on her later on. But right now, let's go to this segment we call Articles of Interest, and with our member and contributor, Susie, we'll bring her back in. And that was a real interesting article, Susie. I thought it was real interesting, and we'd like to share with our listening audience, and we'd like for them to weigh in on this. And this article titled, Black Farmers Were Sold Fake Seeds, Lawsuit Claim. Now, this was a real interesting article. And in this article, it states that Black Farmers and Agriculturalist Association discussed a lawsuit against our company over fake soybean seeds. This was a Memphis Commercial Appeal. It says that black farmers whose numbers already have dwindled, Pacificans over the past century faced new hardship after suffering poor crop yields last year because they were sold fake soybean seeds, an association alleged in a lawsuit. Leaders of the Memphis Bay Black Farmers Agriculturalist Association have filed a class action suit against Steen Seed, the nation's largest independent seed producer, accusing Adele, our firm, of targeting African American for sales of defective seeds. And it also was part of it, also alleged that they did this because this was one of the plots in which they wanted to use, so they were forced farmers to have to sell their farmland. We know, I believe, since 1920 today, up to today, from 1920, you had like 1 million black farmers, now you have less than 5,000. And many of them lost their land and stuff through trickery, such as the one we just alluded to. So, Susie, when you read this article, what came to your mind? We'd like to know how the public feel about this. Now, listen, audience, we'd like you to weigh in on this as you dial in 818-337-0016. Susie, what you take from this article?
What I take, basically, I'm glad that we had the leader from the Memphis Black Farmers and Agriculturalist Association that began to realize that there was an issue that was going on with the farmers, because if he hadn't have noticed or people brought it to his attention that the issues that they were having by producing less and stuff like that, to know that there was a problem, it would have just went on, and these farmers were, you know, their livelihoods were basically lost, you know, financially, they were hurt and everything. And they were already having problems because you had things such as the weather factors and things like that that was affecting crops that a lot of the black farmers had. So it was a good thing that this was finally brought to their attention and that they decided to put in a lawsuit against the Iowa company over the fake soybean seeds. And this is also just another way, I think, of them trying to, they've lessened the number of farmers in farmland that we have anyway today. So therefore, this is another way where they could basically, because of the farmers, black farmers not producing, that meant that they wouldn't, eventually they'd probably have to give up their farms. It wouldn't be feasible because they couldn't afford to continuously to keep the land to try to get things to grow. So I'm glad they put it in the lawsuit, and the future remains to be seen is actually if they, if the seed company will actually be held accountable.
You know, Susan, to my listening audience, I like to win on this. This also reminds me of a constant reminder that it's not enough to play by the rule and not enough to participate in the process. If you don't own and control the process from the beginning to the end, then you are still subject of being manipulated, undermined, and being able to be lose those things that you have created. Because one of the things that comes to mind is if you don't control the seed production, if the seed production is still in the hand of other forces, then you are still at bay in terms of being dominated, being controlled. So here, you know, it's nice to know they had access to technology where they could examine the seed and realize what is taking place. But many times, the kind of technology that you need to look at certain things that are not so easily discovered or seen with the eye, we don't have access to it. So, but it just reminds us again, you know, we must find a way to make sure we are in position of controlling only all the aspects of what is needed when it's talking about producing and controlling, distributing our labor, our resources, and our materials. So, listen, audience, you only have a few minutes. If you would like to get your feedback on this question of forms of oppression, we're talking about this article, what do y'all make of it? We'll open up our lines, 818-337-0016. Hear your views and your opinions. I think we have caller number 3330, your views and opinion on this particular article and dealing with the so-called oppression when it comes to trying to undermine black farmers' interests. Caller 3330.
Well, you know, there's a ongoing narrative in terms of the science community where when it comes to people of color, we are treated differently. Because when you look at this so-called opioid crisis, and this has been an article that was out a couple of years ago, but in certain rural segments of society, they had opioid kits that said that if you're someone suffering from opioid addiction, you can get one of the kits to help you out. Now, we know in history that has never happened. Normally, if you were someone be known to have the addiction, there wasn't a kit you would get over the counter. Basically, either you were subject to being arrested or you'll go through some type of rehab process. So it's very interesting. Yet again, we're looking at science. We know about eugenics experiments, the syphilis experiment. Yet again, you're talking about they gave these black farmers these artificial soybeans. And then you got to ask, we always hear about how these particular items that they advertise that are supposed to help us out society can have a myriad of side effects. You give somebody artificial food, what kind of side effects would there be that they weren't informing these people about? And what were their intentions by doing this? Because this isn't something that you do by accident. You're talking about a situation where you could take out a large group of people in a short time period by doing this.
You're right, you're right, caller, because they mentioned they intentionally switch the area where they're supposed to get the seeds from. They switch it to another settle, only just for black farmers. So it seemed like it was clearly intentional. So question will come again, you know, we're in these positions, how do we get out of it? Because it seemed like they're not going to play fair. And, again, I guess the key word is ownership and control. We must be in ownership, we must be in control of the total process. Okay, caller, we thank you for your contribution to this particular topic. We're going to try caller 6178. Caller 6178, welcome back to MPH. Your comment on this article of how black farmers were intentionally given bad seeds to grow soybeans.
Yeah, well, I think it was definitely intentionally as to, you know, the intent to hurt these black farmers. According to the USA Today, the suit alleges that black farmers who attended the 67th annual Mid-South Farm and Gin Show in Memphis last year bought more than $100,000 worth of certified seeds, but the lawsuit alleges the seeds were switched for inferior ones at a warehouse near Sledge, Mississippi. And so, you know, this was intentional, and there's no excuse for it. Hopefully they will win their suit. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to pause for the calls, go to a station break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on with MPH and be doing that closing. You got to listen to Missing Pages of History. There seems to be that some people have already made that choice of color. We'll be right back.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
we'll make a better society. And if you had a choice,
the choice of color, which one would you choose? My brother, if there was no day or night, which one would you prefer to be right? We welcome you back to Missing Pages History. This is the first program that we will not be doing with our beloved brother, Emmanuel Joyner. For those who was not listening earlier to the program, we share with the listening audience that Mr. Joyner has made a transition on the 22nd of August. He's going to be dearly missed, but we will continue to carry on the lessons and the legacies that he left us. And we want you to come and join and help us. If you're a friend and supporter of Mr. Joyner and believe in his legacy, we ask you to come help us be a Missing Pages of History. Right now, in closing, Susie would share with us what's going on with MPH, and we want you to listen carefully and move forward with helping us build this institution for our underserved community. So right now, we bring you back, Susie. Susie, what's going on with MPH?
Okay, we have several things going on with MPH, and first of all, we have our MPH TV show with Comcast Channel 95 and Fowler's Channel 36, which will be starting around September the 12th, and it's a weekly program, and it's from Wednesday. It's on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m., and also there's live call-ins. That's our MPH TV show. We have our ongoing MPH T-shirt and cap drive. You can place your order. Join us and support us by going to MPH website, www.mphinc.org. And also, we have our ongoing raffle. which the next raffle will be held on Saturday, October the 27th at 1 p.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. Or either you can call one of our members and request tickets if you're like, you need not be present to win. And last and final, we are also biweekly, we have our MPH radio program, which our next program will be September the 8th, 2018, at 1 o'clock p.m.
Thank you, Susan. That's what's happening with MPH. Thank you, Susan, and to the listening audience. Always, if you want to get an update in terms of the essence of what we're trying to achieve, please visit our website again at www.mphinc.org. We only have a minute so left, but we're going to try to take this one caller who has something to say. Caller, we give you about a minute or so. We'll bring you in. Welcome to MPH 4644. Caller 4644. Welcome to MPH. Your comment, caller.
You know, and I was reading that article with these farmers where they went to a Mississippi laboratory that had a seeds test. They also should take them seeds over to Alcorn State and have them tested also and find out if this is truly the case. So I heard what you said, and I did some research myself. But I want to make one other mention, too. You got it in South Africa where blacks are taking back farmland from whites, which I don't disapprove of. But the thing is, if you take back land from someone that's in production, you have to keep that land in production. If not, the people are going to turn from you yourself. You see the same thing with a lot of protests that's going on, the shutdown, shut them down movement. Well, that's fine and dandy. But if you don't replace that business with a business that's supplying the people in that community with what they need, then you have done things for naught. In some cases, the people in the community should chase those folks off for trying to shut down business, whereas they don't have anything to replace them with. I was wondering your opinion on something like that.
Okay, Carla, what we'll do, we'll take those comments and
thank you very much.
No new comments, and we will address them in the future. We are running out of time. We thank you, Carla. All right, to listen, all of you have been listening to Missing Page of History. As you know, Missing Page of History is a bi-weekly program. We come to deal with issues and topics of concern to underserved communities. We'll be back on the 8th of September. We encourage you to share this information with your listening audience, and please join us. Join us by helping us build an organization. Join us and participate on a bi-weekly basis. You know, like always, we say to you that it's important to have information, because without information, people cannot think. It's also important to have correct information so we can make correct decisions, proper decisions. So on that note, we'd like to thank you always for your support. Again, this is Missing Page of History. Our condolences goes out to the Joyner family, and we'll see you next program on the 8th of September, 2018. This has been MPH. And again, check out our website, www.mphinc.org, to find out how you can help build MPH. We end on this note that we want to resolve this contradiction of this world being a ball of confusion.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, huh? down the slope, shooting rockets to the moon, kids going up to soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
Thank you.